Senate please come to order? Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 15 members present this morning. Senator Lincoln is excused and called the Senate today.
Please stand for the invocation by Herb McMurtry of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church.
Let us pray. We come in prayer to you, O Lord, who never had to take back anything spoken, to correct anything said, or to apologize for any statement. Bless the members of this body as they think together and work together in this chamber, in committee rooms, and in their offices. Help them to stand up under the strains and the tensions of problems and decisions, of meetings and conferences, and the endless demands made upon them. Teach them how to relax and to take time to turn to you for guidance and for grace, and thus discover the secret of power. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
Senator Sharp, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journals for the 61st, 62nd, and 63rd legislative days, Senate supplements 4 and 5, and Senate and House joint supplement number 9.
Senator Taylor.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals and supplements be approved as certified by the Senate secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. And that brings us to introduction of guests. Senator Jackal.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some guests here who are participants of the COSEPS program. And these students are from Akiachik, Akiak, King Cove, and Akitan. And as I say your name, would you please stand? Darren George from Akiak. Ben Albright from Akiak. Jesse Lupi from Akiachik. I'm saying these wrong, I'm sorry. Sherry Wasley from Akiachik, Christine Pidorovsky from Akiachik, and from Akiak, Leland Leoban, Ruby Nikolai from Akiak, Yolanda Ramos from Akiak, Shane Rakolai from King Cove, Jason Mack from King Cove, Carolee Utick from King Cove, John Borini from Akitan, and advisors Tracy McCarlin from Akiak, Steve Itto from Akiak, Steve Itto, and Christine Wallace from King Cove. Please help me welcome these guests.
Further introduction, Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. We also have some students there from the from Senator Lincoln's close-up program, or district, I guess, participating in the close-up program. I'll get that straight. It's Monday morning. Excuse me. They are from Tuluksac, Joey Allen, and Nikolai Napokiak. Welcome to the Senate. Mr. President, I also have been handed the note there that the superintendent of the Iditarod School District, which is in Senator Lincoln's district, is also in the Miller's Gallery. I'd like to welcome to the Senate.
Further introductions? Senator Curtula.
Thank you. Mistake. I think Superintendent Craig is here too, is he not?
Are there any further introductions? Messages from the governor.
There are no messages this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message dated March 12th, the House has passed and transmitted for consideration. House concurrent resolution number 7 by Representatives Nikolai, Bryce, Norland, Finkelstein, Parnell, James, Navarre, Menard, Ulmer, and Brown relating to alcohol-related birth defects awareness group.
Pass and judiciary.
House joint resolution number 11 by Representatives Phillips and Bryce proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to repeal of regulations by the legislature.
Judiciary and Finance.
House joint resolution number 28 by Representative Bryce supporting increased access near Mount McKinley through establishment of a visitor activity area at Kantishna.
Transportation and Resources.
House Bill number 133 by the House Special Committee on Fisheries, an act amending the definition of value for purposes of administration of fishery taxes and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Those are all the messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
Reports dated March 9th. Dear Mr. President, in accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Resources Committee reviewed the following with regard to confirmation of the governor's appointments, Board of Game, Roger Huntington, and Ruggles. There were no state objections to the confirmation of the named individuals by committee members. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individuals in any further sessions. Respectfully submitted, Senator Mueller, Chair, Frank, Adam, Jaroff, Lehman, and Pierce. Report dated March 9th. In accordance with AS 3905080, Senate Resources Committee reviewed the following with regard to confirmation of the governor's appointments, Board of Game, Ernest Pauley. There were no state objections to the confirmation of the named individual by committee members. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further sessions. Respectfully submitted, Senators Miller, Frank, Adam, Jaroff, Lehman. Senator Pierce signed, I suggest the governor remove the appointment. Senator Donnelly signed, governor should withdraw the appointment. Report dated March 9th to Mr. President. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Resources Committee reviewed the following with regard to confirmation of the governor's appointment, Board of Game, Jack Digrickson. There were no state objections to the confirmation of the named individual by committee members. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further session. Respectfully, Senator Miller, Chair, Senators Frank, Jaroff, Pearson, Donnelly, Senator Adams signed, governor should withdraw name. State Affairs Committee considered sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 11 relating to crime and terroristic threatening, recommends that he replies to the committee substitute new title and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Lehman, Chair, concurring Senators Duncan, Ellis, and Miller, 2-0 fiscal notes. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 11 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 69 prohibiting employers from discriminating against individuals who use legal products in a legal manner outside of work, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jacko, Chair, concurring Senators Ridger and Halford. Senator Little signed do not pass. Senator Jaroff signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 83, alcohol server education course, recommends calendar. Report signed by Senator Jacko, concurring Senator Ridger. Senator Halford signed no recommendation. These two bills do appear on today's calendar, and those are all the standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports today.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
There are no Senate bills this morning.
Mr. Speaker, President.
Senator Taylor.
Move my reconsideration as Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 45, Finance, and the effective date.
Okay, the reconsideration of House Bill 45 is before us. Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, we would like to have a minority caucus on a motion to recess, please.
Okay, how long do you think it'll be?
Oh, I'd say 15 minutes.
Let's us go in there, too.
Pardon?
Go ahead. Recess 15 minutes.
Move and ask unanimous consent. The Senate stand in recess for 15 minutes, being back here on the floor at 10 minutes to 11.
Okay, and we'll go to the Butrovich room.
Majority will meet in caucus in the Butrovich room.
Without objection, the Senate will stand in recess until 10:00. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Pierce.
Could we please move to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests. Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Senator Ziegler Gallery, we have with us today a group of ARCO CAP members, and there is one from my district, and if you'd please stand, can't talk, it's Jean Burleson. Thanks for visiting with us.
Senator Donnelly.
We're on introduction of guests.
Under introduction of guests, Senator Donnelly.
The ARCO Civic Action Program has some folks from my district in town today. From District 19, Julie Anderson, David Hart, and Cliff Posey, and from District 20, Judy Anderson. I spoke to these ladies, and there's Judy Anderson and Julie Anderson, and they said, "Well, we're not related." And it was really nice to meet them. Kevin Frank, Jeff Gilstrap, Larry House, Dale Riley, Bobby Scribner, Steve Shivers, and Alan Wilson. And so maybe we could all greet them.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to call the Senate.
Senator Duncan has called the Senate. Let's see, who do we need? Who's missing? Okay. Will Senate please stand at ease? Back to order. The call has been satisfied. Before us is Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 45, Finance on Reconsideration. Senator Curtula.
President, I move that we return a second reading for a specific amendment. The amendment's on your desk. It reduces or increases the instructional unit by 1,000 from 61 to 62,000, Mr. President.
We have a motion to return to second reading. There is objection. Senator Cadillo, I think you did explain the amendment. If you want to offer any further brief explanation, go ahead.
Mr. President, I'll speak now just in case it doesn't get to second reading. The increases you've seen in House Bill 45 without this amendment cover only the increases in enrollment. It does nothing to help the basic problem of a 20% inflationary spiral and about a 3% increase previous year. Frankly, many of the schools in the urban areas, we spoke yesterday of the rural, many of the schools in urban areas have been able to replace textbooks. Children are using outdated material. We have a growing problem with pupil-teacher ratio and a problem with maintenance. Many of these things have lagged because of the failure to keep up with the inflationary times. This 1,000 would be the same as we increased last year as a Senate with support of the House. It would at least be in keeping with the last year's inflationary spiral. And I think it's an absolute necessity. It's not enough, but it at least seems to me would be a compromise point. I strongly support it. I could speak a great deal on this, but we have debated this bill for several days. And again, I think it's absolutely needed. We can afford it, and we should, frankly, at least meet this minimum test.
The question before the Senate is, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 45 Finance be returned to second reading for specific amendment number 12, is it? If there's no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so, Committee Substitute House Bill 45 Finance has not been returned to second reading. Is again in third reading on final passage. Senator Adams.
In debate, Mr. President.
Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to stand up here and clarify some of the misinformation that was given on Friday by the majority leader. And he had stated when the senator from Wrangell was the Republican minority in the House, the Wrangell School District was one of six that was not to get extra funding until the special session. And so I'd like to hopefully go back and see what happened last year. The first bill that we had was House Bill number 25, which was the exact duplicate of House Bill 5 for the FY92 appropriation for single sites. If funded at the department's request, only those single sites municipal school districts with ADM of less than 500 using the 1991 enrollment numbers. The reason we included the additional sites in the second bill is because we recognized there was a problem with single sites. There were municipal single sites and REA single sites. And second, single sites with an ADM up to 750 had financial problems. So basically, I worked with the former president of Sitka. He had problems there, the senator from Kodiak, and others to address these particular problems. In the second bill we passed, the REAA districts that were funded included ADAC, Kasunimute, and Annapolis. The districts with the up to 750 were three, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Nome. So I also was concerned. The Aleutian district was included in this particular bill at the Department of Education request because they told us that it was a single site. But actually, it was a dual site. Now, the question was, why wasn't these single site problems addressed until the first special session that has been stated by the majority? You need to go back, Mr. President, and remember the end of last session. We in the Senate were amending a capital budget appropriation bill called House Bill number 470. The House was preparing a drop-dead bill, which included the capital budget, the reappropriation bill, and those single sites, and this was Senate Bill number 161. You, as Majority Leader, saw that particular bill at the last night. The original title of that bill was an act making appropriation for contract settlement costs and arbitration awards for public employees who are members of the collecting bargaining units, and for salary adjustments for public employees who were not members of that bargaining units. This piece of legislation came back to us as the bill that had the reappropriation, the capital budgets, and all the single sites. Mr. President, the President and the Majority Leader at that time was not aware of these particular facts. We ran out of time and did not take up that bill. So basically, we had to come back in a special session to deal with this particular problem. We dealt with that particular problem in Senate Bill number 483. In summary, Mr. President, let me point out that the single sites issue did not have to be dealt in a special session. If either version of the cap budget had been passed by either body at the end of the session, these single sites would have been funded. Also, there were several school districts that were not included in House Bill 25, but they weren't included for one of two reasons. They were not a single site city school districts, they were a single site REA school district, and two, they had an ADM over 500. And lastly, I believe that the case has been made to be fair to all single-site school districts with ADMs up to 750. The problem in this piece of legislation here, it does not treat all school districts, single sites, fairly. And that's why I will be voting again, Mr. President, against this piece of legislation.
Further debate? Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also wanted to just add a few words to the debate this morning on the piece of legislation. Unfortunately, I am again going to have to vote against the bill also, because I do not believe it treats all students in this state fairly and with equity, and I think that's a message we do not want to send to the children of this state. I am very optimistic, however, I'll have a chance to finally vote for full funding and early funding when this bill comes back and we have a chance to recede from these amendments that were offered by the Senate Finance Committee. So this may not be the final vote on the legislation. I do, as I said, rise in opposition to it because of the inequity and because of the fact that the rationale, the arguments that were used on this floor the other day as to why certain districts were taken out just don't hold water. There really is no rationale at all. We kept asking for explanations, and the only explanation we could get back was, well, we had to make some adjustments because there were new figures. Well, there were new figures, and some districts were adjusted upwards, but none of the districts, none of the nine that were eliminated, were recommended $0. None of them were recommended to be eliminated. In fact, I have information here before me that shows that three of the districts that were taken out, Hoonah, Cake, and Klawock, actually were recommended for increased amounts over and above what's in the what they had in the bill, just as Wrangell was or Petersburg was. So, Mr. President, the arguments that were given the other day just don't hold water. I really believe we're sending the wrong message to the young people of this state that because you live in a certain area and you may be unfortunate enough to have members in a minority instead of a majority, that you're not going to get early funding and full funding as other districts are, that they're for some reason going to be second-class citizens. That's the wrong message to send. Therefore, I'm going to vote against the legislation.
Senator Jarrah.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I think it's with some regret and quite a bit of regret there that I am going to, again, cast a negative vote on this subject. And the reasons, I guess, were quite evident from the debate that we had on Thursday and Friday and then the various attempts to at least increase the foundation unit, which were declined by this body, this majority, to go back and to allow at least that vote to take place. I am very much concerned that the students that are not being included in this bill, those nine school districts that have been chosen and without any real strong justification that I could find, or even hear from the majority as to why they were excluded, is still not satisfactory in my mind. And I'm going to hope there that we will have an opportunity to revisit this issue and to take into account the needs of these school districts, the needs of these children, of which have little support in terms of having a strong voice in the whole educational system. And we've taken care of, we've seen the term, the monies for the single dual-site schools referred to as gravy or as bonus monies. You know, I'd kind of like to expand that thought a little bit more further when you talk about pupil transportation. That's bonus money. That's gravy. Where does the bulk of that money go? It doesn't go to these nine school districts. You know, when we talk about school indebtedness and paying off the commitments that our local municipalities have made, and the state is picking up great percentage, if not 100% of that in some cases there, that's real gravy. We still have a lot of schools, and probably some of them in these nine school districts, that are in a condition there that we wouldn't send many of the urban children to. Some of these are still the old BIA state-operated schools, those that didn't have the opportunity to have local bonds to improve them when the opportunity was available. It'd be kind of interesting to see, Mr. President, I know I'm straying just a little bit, but as to how the funding for school renovation and new schools is going to come about and where those funds are going to go. I would hope that these nine school districts are going to get some consideration along with other rural schools. And I would like to just comment on one statement made by the majority leader, that we didn't pass the early funding bill for education last year until May 12th. I'm not sure if it was May 12th or May 11th or whatever, so I'm going to assume that it was May 12th. Yes, this bill did not pass. I held it in the Rules Committee, trying to leverage the position to take care of the single dual-site school forever. We could not. We had members from the urban areas. The former senator from the South Anchorage did a lot of work in trying to bring together a compromise with the House, the administration, with the school districts, with the Department of Education, and she just could not do it. And we worked for a long time to try to get this resolved, and it was not resolved. And there was quite a bit of relief in thinking, well, at least somebody is making some recognition of the problem. And we saw this when the House bill came over from the House. And we thought there that finally somebody is beginning to hear the cries and the pleas of these single dual-site schools, and that we would not only have the funding in place for FY94, but that we would also start working on a resolve to it. When the bill came out of the Senate Finance Committee, it chose there to arbitrarily select 9 school districts for no funding. So, Mr. President, it's with a lot of regret there that I am not going to support this piece of legislation at this time. And it's basically on equity. We are not treating all the school districts in the state equitably. We're not treating the teachers in this state equitably. We're not treating all of the students in the state of Alaska. And yet we hold education as one of our highest institutions on the pedestal of government funding. And we say many times, you can't do anything without education. But yet, these students here, at this point in time, are being deprived of at least having that opportunity to be able to participate with the FY94 funding coming out of this body.
Senator Curtula?
In anticipation of the need for funds for the basics, education be a primary one, many of us fought the battle just about 3 years ago to secure those funds. Some of you were on the opposition to them, and there wouldn't be the funds here now to do the job if we hadn't passed the legislation. We did. We can balance the budget. We have sufficient funds for suggested increase that we should have provided. And I'm optimistic that sometime during the balance of this year, certainly next, that we're going to increase the instructional unit. My memory is that last year, this body and the House both increased instructional unit in the same piece of legislation. I may be wrong, but it's my memory. I introduced the bill. And it got tied up in the battle over single dual sites. So we failed to provide for the single dual site problem, and we failed to increase the instructional unit that so much affects all of our districts. All I can say is that with this lack of meeting the cost of living problems that we've had over the last 7 years, we'll go back to our districts and ask them to further increase their local tax contribution for many of the people that make minimum contribution to the area. The children lie in the bedroom districts, but the tax base and where the people work is a completely different area. The state's the only one that can rectify that problem and average it out. I'm going to vote for the bill reluctantly, as I had a lot of problems with it. I hope it comes back with some other programs included. And of course, I'd like to see instructing unit.
Further debate on Senate Committee Substitute, House Bill 45, Finance. there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is final passage on reconsideration of Senate Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute, House Bill 45, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Senate Committee Substitute, the Committee Substitute for House Bill 45, Finance, has passed the Senate on reconsideration. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent the vote on the passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage of Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 45, Finance will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. I believe that brings us to the daily calendar. Senator Jarrell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will we return to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we are back under introduction of guests. Senator Jarrell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Through my neglect there, I forgot to introduce the superintendent and from the Craig School District, as well as the chairman and president of the board of the Craig School District. First, the superintendent, John Holes, and also accompanying him is Paul Thibodeau.
Senator Little.
Under introduction of guests, Mr. President, and I apologize to our senator from Kenai, but I'm sure she can't see that our honorable mayor from Kenai, John Williams, is in the Ziegler Gallery. Welcome to the Senate.
Senate Bill number 69 by Senators Taylor and Duncan, an act prohibiting employers from discriminating against individuals who use legal products in a legal manner outside of work. Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee reports it back with no recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Kelly Chair, concurring Senators Reeder and Pierce. Senator Salo signed due pass, 2-0 fiscal notes. Judiciary Committee considered the bill. Recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute. The majority of the committee reports it back with no recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Taylor Chair, concurring Senators Donnelly and Jacko. Senators Little and Halford signed do not pass. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jacko Chair, concurring Senators Rieger and Halford. Senator Little signed do not pass. Senator Jarrell signed no recommendation. As a judiciary committee substitute.
Senator Taylor. You're going to move the Judiciary CS?
Yeah, I move the Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 69.
Okay. Senator Adams.
Thank you. Under the Judiciary Committee substitute, they made some changes on page 2 to lines 11 through 15 for a bill that was intended to be an employee protection bill. The bulk of it had many ways that an employer could discriminate against employees by those changes that were made in that particular paragraph. Those would allow firing or discrimination if an employer came up with these reasonable standards of conduct even once after work. What I would like the Judiciary Chairman to do is give me examples of where a person can get fired for doing something afterwards.
Senator Taylor.
Yes, back to the senator from Kotzebue. It's my understanding during the committee, the comments that were given and the testimony given indicated, and the only example I can refer him to was the one that was offered, I believe, there, and that was where you might have a village police officer in a small community who exercised his legal right to drink a legal substance, that being an alcoholic beverage, and consumed in excess, and did this on a frequent occasion, that this would be in violation of the standards of conduct that the employer, state of Alaska, might feel was appropriate on the part of such an officer, and that was the reason given. As you will recall, I did not support this amendment in the committee, Senator.
Senator Adams.
Thank you. With hearing the explanation, I will be withdrawing my objection to the Judiciary Committee. But I think that to follow along with that, an amendment number 2, which is before you a little later, needs to have the employer communicate on those standards of conduct and those examples.
Senator Duncan.
Yeah, Mr. President, I'll ask for an adhesion. I'll call the Senate first and then ask for an adhesion.
Okay, the Senate is under a call on this bill or on the calendar?
Just on this bill right now.
On this bill, the Senate is under a call.
We have it at ease.
Without objection, the Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Before us is the motion to adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill. Is there further debate? Is the objection to the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute withdrawn? You maintain your objection, or you maintain his objection, Senator Duncan? Okay. There is objection. So the question before the Senate is, shall the Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 69 be adopted in lieu of the original bill? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? So the Judiciary Committee substitute has been adopted in lieu of the original bill.
CS for Senate Bill Number 69, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act prohibiting employers from discriminating against individuals who use legal products in legal manner outside their work. I have amendment number 1 by Senator Little, page 1, lines 1 through 2, and this has been distributed.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 1.
Amendment number 1 has been moved. Is there objection?
Two of us don't seem to have the amendment, Mr. Chairman. Here.
Let's stand at ease and make sure we got the amendment. Please come back to order. Senator Little has moved amendment number 1. Is there objection? Without objection. Thank you, Senator Kelly. There is objection. Senator Little, speaking to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was thinking I was going to get away free there. The reason that I put this amendment forward is because of a personal experience of my own, wherein I was, well, a case could have been made that there was discrimination because I did not smoke or drink during non-working hours. And I believe that individuals such as myself who choose not to smoke should not be discriminated against in the workplace for that reason. Thank you.
Further debate on amendment number 1. If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is, shall amendment number 1 to committee substitute Senate Bill 69 Judiciary be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Senator Duncan.
We're joining an elite group here.
Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 1 to committee substitute for Senate Bill 69 Judiciary has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas and 4 nays. Does the secretary have further amendments?
Mr. President, may we have a brief at ease?
The Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order?
Has this been moved?
Okay, we're in second reading and debate. We've adopted amendment number 1. Are there further amendments?
Amendment number 2 by Senator Adams, page 2, line 14, and this has been distributed.
Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 2.
Amendment number 2 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Adams.
The language there on page 2, 11 through 15 in the new judiciary language refers to when an employee can discharge or disadvantage an employee based on an employee's reasonable standard of conduct. My amendment here that I'm just asking is that the amendment requires the employer to communicate the standards of conduct that might give rise to an employee being fired or disadvantaged before the employee could do these things. And I just refer back to when you communicate with the employee, just as the example that was given to as a VPSO. And that's just all that amendment does.
Senator Taylor.
Yeah, I think if the members will look, basically on page 1, line 14, if you follow on through with that sentence over to page 2, where you're talking about job performance standards, and also down within the section that would be amended by this, section number 3, beginning at line 11, it's impossible to terminate an employee for violation of either of those sections if, in fact, you had not communicated that information to the employee. In other words, each of those sections presupposes that there would be a standard of conduct established probably through an employee's manual or other form of communication. You would not be able to discharge an employee had you failed to do so. There has to be some standard established. I think the language requested in the amendment is redundant at this point. I would therefore oppose it.
Question before the Senate is, shall amendment number 2 to committee substitute for Senate Bill 69, Judiciary, be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 2 to committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary amended, has failed to be adopted. Does the secretary have further amendments?
Amendment number 3 by Senator Salo, delete page 2, lines 11 through 15.
Senator Salo.
Yes, the purpose of this amendment is to deal with the same section that we've been having some problems with here, which is states, I think, a clause that goes against the original intention of this bill and says that reasonable standards of conduct can be applied to non-working hours. And I think there's a serious problem with this because reasonable standards of conduct are clearly in the eye of the beholder. When we dealt with this bill in Labor and Commerce, that was demonstrated by the answers to the questions from the Department of Administration that I asked. And it was clear in the example that I used that the Department of Administration thought it would be, unbecoming conduct of a state employee to frequent a certain establishment in town. In my mind, that would not be unbecoming conduct. But the point is that it really is in the eye of the beholder. And so I move amendment number 3.
We have a motion to adopt amendment number 3. Is there objection? There is objection.
Of course, we can't vote on that amendment until everybody's on the floor. We're under a call.
Who's gone? Oh, you're right. Is there further debate on the adoption of amendment number 3? If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is, shall amendment number 3 to committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary amended, be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 3 to committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary amended, has failed by a vote of 9 yeas, 10 nays.
Amendment number...
Secretary have further amendments.
Amendment number 4 by Senator Rigger, page 2, line 5, after use, insert, or lack of use. This has been distributed.
Senator Rigger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 4, ask unanimous consent.
Amendment number 4 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Rigger.
Mr. President, this the insertion of the phrase, or lack of use, is to conform the bill with amendment number 1, which spoke to non-discrimination based on lack of use of legal products, and this preserves the exclusion with respect to health, disability, or life insurance policies.
Senator Little.
Point of inquiry, Mr. President. Does the maker of the motion intend for this to be page 1, line 5?
Senator Rigger.
Mr. President, I know I never got high grades in penmanship in school, but that is intended to be a 2 on your handwritten amendment there.
Further debate on amendment number 4?
Cash Jams consent.
Senator Kelly.
These, please.
Without objection, the Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Before us is amendment number 4 to committee substitute Senate Bill 69, judiciary amended. Is there further debate? If there's no further debate, is there further objection to the adoption of amendment number 4? If there is no objection, amendment number 4 is adopted. Does the Secretary have further amendments? Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 5. I think it's 5.
Amendment number 5 has been moved. Is there objection? There is objection. Senator Little.
This would only make the bill consistent with the other amendments that we've already made. It would allow for non-discrimination for lawful use or non-use of products. Thank you.
Is the objection maintained? Is the objection to amendment number 5 maintained? Without objection, amendment number 5 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an inquiry of the sponsor of the legislation that may lead to an amendment. I see on page 2 we define, I guess that's the standard definition of employer. My concern arises out of companies that are not based here in Alaska but employ a considerable number of people over what's mentioned there on line 22 who have major concern with the legislation unless they've changed their position since last year. People, major employers such as Alaska Airlines that have pre-employment screening processes that put potential employees on notice that the company doesn't want smokers on the payroll because they because that activity leads to the leading cause of death in the United States, that it's a purely preventable conditions that cost that employer so much money through their health plan. So they just go out of their way proactively to screen those people out, and if you're a smoker, you just don't apply to Alaska Airlines. I guess this all-encompassing broad definition of employer would bring those non-Alaskan-based companies under their purview. I just wonder if there was any consideration in the committee process given to an exemption for non-Alaskan-based employers, or any consideration given to exploding health care costs, a purely preventable condition, and how this bill could set those efforts back in the workplace to have healthy workers and lower health care costs that are killing the private sector. So it's kind of a broad question, but I would like it addressed before we move into third reading and I lose my chance to propose an amendment.
Senator Duncan.
I was waiting for the judiciary chair to stand, but I'll just give
As the sponsor of the bill in the last legislature, Senator Duncan.
Thank you very much. Sure. Mr. President. I think that the senator has a good point. And actually, last year we discussed this same area. Of course, we're all concerned about health care costs, the rising cost of health care, et cetera, and would like to promote healthy lifestyles. Although I'm not quite convinced that you should be able to refuse to hire somebody because they have that habit of smoking. On page 2, if the senator looked, page 2, lines 3 through 6, we tried to address that issue by allowing the employer to make adjustments in their health care premiums if someone has if someone's a smoker, for example, and that's going to impact the health care costs for that firm, for that company. Their premiums are going to go up. They can make an adjustment in the premiums for the smokers versus the non-smokers. So we tried to address that problem.
Further debate. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just ask the senator who made the previous remarks about is there any kind of reasonableness standard in the increase or adjustment of the health benefit package? Because we know that, someone dying from lung cancer, emphysema, all the attendant health problems are extraordinarily expensive. So is there any kind of reasonableness standard, or could the company raise the amount and change the benefit package in such a way that it would effectively deny people their employment, what you believe is an employment right, because of their legal activity?
I guess I'd answer that question with the question, is there any kind of reasonableness now on total health care premiums going up? No, it's whatever the insurance industry wants to charge you, right? But that's a different story. There is not any standards in this piece of legislation. However, again, I guess we can only hope it wouldn't be abused. If we actually reformed the health care system in this country, we probably wouldn't have a major problem. Which, by the way, I know the senator from Anchorage supports.
Further debate in second reading on committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary Amendment. If there's no further debate, Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 69, Judiciary Amended, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary, is considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
CS for Senate Bill number 69, Jude Amended, an act prohibiting employers from discriminating against individuals based on the use of legal products.
Question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary Amended. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to find out from anyone who participated in the legislative process, and I'll apologize to the body for over the weekend, a very busy weekend with constituents, for not having been able to read the committee minutes. But does Alaska Airlines, Alaska Airlines is having major money problems. We're in a world of hurt if they go under. In communities all over this state, and I'm not going to make the argument that this is what's going to put them over the edge, because it certainly wouldn't. But when they oppose something, I sit up and take notice, just because it's a major employer in our state. And a lot of the progressive things they've done in terms of employment policies have had a spinoff effect in other areas, and I think that's been very positive for the people of Alaska. So I'm wondering, can anybody tell me, do they have a position on this legislation, stated in the legislative process or communicated to members of the body?
Senator Taylor.
I can tell the member from Anchorage they have not communicated any stated position of which I am aware. They did, however, and I didn't get a chance to go back to Washington, D.C., to watch the new president be sworn in, but they did indicate that they were very concerned about the new BTU tax that he is suggesting, which will cost them $30 million. Fortunately, in this legislation, there'll be no cost to Alaska Airlines because they can pass that cost on to such employees that they may discover are currently smoking. Of course, any employee they have right now probably has to lie to them to keep their job. If, in fact, they are smoking or were smoking when the policy changed. I know several Alaska Airlines employees who happen to smoke, and so if, in fact, the statement is that that's inappropriate conduct for current Alaska Airlines employees, then maybe they're not telling their employer what they're doing on weekends. I don't know. My concern is, however, that they be allowed the opportunity to maintain their continued employment if in fact they choose to abide by a certain lifestyle that some people don't feel is appropriate for their own health, I guess that's a choice that employee has made. And if in fact the employer, being aware of that, has to adjust their insurance premium, then it's also a choice that they're paying for, not the employer.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I asked a simple question, and I don't appreciate at all the sarcastic jab from the majority leader. Alaska Airlines in the past has opposed this legislation, and unless they've changed that position, maybe they were just didn't want to come forward this year. They knew this bill was going to pass, and why stir the waters? But in the past, they have opposed the legislation, and I just wanted to see if they had updated that. I oppose the legislation, as you can figure out. You can take a civil liberties argument on this legislation. You can dress it up in other ways as well. I just think it's the wrong direction to go, Mr. President, when we're talking about voluntary, engaging in voluntary kind of activity that, while perfectly legal, is perfectly lethal to the users, and employers that in pre-employment screening weed out for illegal drugs also ask people about this and discourage people who smoke and drink from getting involved in their state health plan. I just think it's the wrong direction to go when we're trying to encourage people to live healthy lives.
If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary amended. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so, committee substitute Senate Bill 69, Judiciary amended, has failed to pass the Senate by a vote of 9 yeas and 10 nays. Senator Pierce.
Reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 69.
Notice of reconsideration has been served on Senate Bill 69. Would the secretary please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 83 by Senator Kelly, an act relating to an alcohol server education. Hess Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Rieger, Chair, concurring. Senators Lehman and Sharp, Senators Miller and Duncan signed no rec, zero fiscal note. Labor and Commerce waived. Rules Committee considered bill. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jacko, Chair, concurring. Senators Rieger, Senator Halford signed no recommendation. I have no amendments.
There are no amendments. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Senate Bill 83 be considered engrossed. Advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 83 is considered engrossed. Advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
Senate Bill number 83, an act relating to an alcohol server education course.
Senator Adams.
Question to the sponsor of this piece of legislation. I note on page 2, lines 6 and 7, the board shall consider the need of both urban and rural licenses regarding access to approved alcohol server education course. My question is, and perhaps I would like to go to that, would I be eligible for a student loan for this particular course?
Senator Kelly.
I believe so. It didn't show up in the fiscal note. It is being supported by the Anchorage Alcohol Board. It is being supported by the Anchorage Data News, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, the Alaska Cabaret Hotel, Restaurant, and Retailers Association, the Anchorage Restaurant and Beverage Association. There is no fiscal cost to the state. And the Alaska Beverage Control Board believes it can be a positive force in making alcohol beverage servers more aware of their responsibilities.
Further debate on Senate Bill 83? there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 83. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so, Senate Bill 83 has passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and one nay. Senator Adams.
I serve notice of my vote on Senate Bill 83.
Senator Adams has served notice of reconsideration of his vote on Senate Bill 83. Will the secretary please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citations honoring Jason Dean, Senators Little, Curtula, Pierce, Duncan, Lehman, Jarrah. Honoring Marianne Hagel, Senators Little, Curtula, Pierce, Duncan, Lehman, Jarrah. Honoring Charles Boulding, Senators Frank Miller, Curtula, Duncan, Phillips, Sharp, Rieger, Lehman, Lincoln, Little. Honoring the International Federation of Sled Dog Sports, Senators Frank Miller, Curtula, Donnelly, Pierce, Duncan, Phillips, Sharp, Rieger, Lincoln, Helford, Little. Honoring maintenance workers of the Dalton Highway, Senators Curtula, Pierce, Duncan, Kelly, Sharp, Helford. Honoring Claude Mungu, Senators Phillips, Curtula, Pierce, Duncan, Helford, Little. Honoring Eagle River Elks Lodge, Senators Phillips, Helford, Curtula, Donnelly, Pierce, Duncan, Kelly, and Jarrah.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent the citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved by the Senate. Senator Frank.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on the citation honoring the maintenance workers for Dalton Highway.
Without objection, Senator Frank will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Dalton Highway. Senator Miller, same request. Senator Miller. Senator Taylor. That brings us to the conclusion of today's calendar and to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the Senate? Senator Taylor.
I had the wrong note.
Senator Pierce, under unfinished business.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 90, which is the 1993 Revisers Bill, be waived from the Senate Finance Committee.
Without objection, the Finance Committee referral to the Revisers Bill will be waived. I believe that bill goes to rules. So.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I be named as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 154, an act relating to the Economic Development Grant Program.
Without objection, Senator Taylor will be shown as a co-sponsor as requested.
I also move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee be allowed to waive Senate Bill CS for Senate Bill 97, Labor and Commerce Enhanced 9/11 Emergency Systems.
Without objection, the judiciary referral to Senate Bill 97 will be waived. Further unfinished business. That brings us to announcements. Senator Phillips.
Sir, President, there will be a 12 noon meeting today, House Finance, Legislative Budget and Audit. Just a reminder.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to announce that one of our members had a birthday this weekend, and I wanted to wish him a very hearty happy birthday. It's our kind senator from downtown Anchorage.
Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, it's a change in time, please note, the Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas will be meeting in the Belch Room, and we will hear testimony on Senate Bill 150 related to oil and gas exploration licenses and leases, and Senate Bill 151, oil and gas exploration incentive credits.
Further announcements, Senator Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Hess Committee will meet today a little after 1:30 in Butcherbridge Room 205. Hearing Senate Resolution 2 on the Oxygenated Fuels Program and continuing work on Senate Bill 101 eligibility for public assistance. The meeting will start about 5 minutes late.
Senator Phillips.
Mr. President, tomorrow at 9 a.m., the Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee will be meeting on Senate Bill 142, Regional Economic Assistance Grants.
Further announcements, Senator Taylor.
Yes, first, the Senate Judiciary will meet its regular time at 1:30 today, taking up those items we were unable to get to on Friday.
President.
Senator Little, you can't object to an announcement, well, but when he finishes, let me come back to you.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Finish your announcement, but we have a problem, apparently.
First, I was indicating the Senate Judiciary would attempt to meet today at its normal scheduled time. I've had to change my plans and had hoped to at least get to some of those items that the committee has either previously taken up or been unable to have hearings on up until this time.
Senator Little.
President, thank you, and I apologize for not doing it right. But anyway, so far as I know, the judiciary meeting has already been canceled as per notice from the Senate Secretary, and it's been posted on the door of the meeting room. I just don't think that it's fair to the public to cancel the meeting and then reinstate it. I would request that we do go ahead and cancel the judiciary meeting as had been planned previously. It's more fair, I believe, to the public as far as those who were interested in testifying on the bills we were going to consider.
Senator Taylor?
Yeah, I didn't realize it had been communicated. My staff had sent me a note just asking, and I thought they had not already communicated the closure of the meeting. But that's fine with me. It doesn't matter. We will cancel Senate Judiciary. I have another announcement.
Senator Taylor.
Bye. The Mexican delegation is in town, and that is a delegation of guests from the Mexican government is visiting Alaska this Thursday. They are members of the American Council of Young Political Leaders. Senators Pierce and Representative Hanley have asked that I request that all members of the Senate be shown as sponsors on an attached citation. You have it on your desks. It would be a good gesture of support to show all members of the Senate as sponsors. The citation looks like.
Have we passed the citation yet?
Nope.
When are we supposed to be passing the citation? Pardon? You want to take it up? Please?
Four.
Okay. Further announcements. Special orders. Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for a moment to comment on the Mexican delegation's arrival and the piece of legislation that has been submitted.
Senator Curtula, on the Mexican delegation's arrival and a piece of legislation that's been submitted.
Mr. President, early in the session, I introduced a resolution, a commendation to the government of Mexico for its work on the whale. It was the gray whale. And they've done a lot to increase and support the propagation. I think it's now off the endangered species list because of the work of the government of Mexico and people concerned in Mexico. It seems to me that that would be a really decent gesture to take that very minor piece of legislation, which merely acknowledges that effort, and it does sit in the Judiciary Committee, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Curtula. Further special orders? If there are no further special orders, would you adjourn us to 11 a.m. tomorrow?
Move and ask unanimous consent. Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, March 16.
Without objection, we're adjourned.